This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
He is a color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays. You know him, you love him. Can't live without him. Brian Anderson. Brian, good morning. Thanks
What's
for your time.
BA?
Good morning, boys. I'll tell you what, that intro never gets old. That intro, I hear that intro, I want to make a U-turn right back to the gym. Right back to the gym, round two. Let's go, baby.
That's all Meredith. Meredith threw that together for you. I forgot we got into some Guns N' Roses discussion once, and Meredith threw that together, so that's all on her.
Night Train. Listen, Night Train is one of the one of their clean songs off of Appetite for Destruction, but that song never got any airplay. It was Sweet Child of Mine, Welcome to the Jungle, and Paradise City. And Night Train, you could have fired that right on, but it never made the airwaves. And I think it's the best song in the album.
Well, you know the Browns, they do the guitar smash before kickoff. Now that's their bit, and they use Sweet Child of Mine as the music for that.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a couple years now, yeah.
Think about when that album was released. What was that, 1985, 86, mid to late 80s?
I wasn't 10 years old back then. Thanks, Brian, for reminding me how old I am.
No, hey, listen, I'm right with you. I am right with you. But here's the thing. That album is timeless.
If
that album got released next week, you would think, yeah, that's modern music. I mean, it jams that well, and it has stood the test of time. That album, just unbelievable, the staying power of that particular record.
March Madness here in Cleveland, we got a doubleheader of games over at Rocket Arena starting at 12:40. I did not do a bracket this year, Brian, honestly, because I just forgot about it. I am ashamed to sit here and admit that to you, but did you do a bracket, and who'd you pick in your Final Four?
I did not do a bracket, and I have not done a bracket in a long time. You know, the day and age of college basketball regular season, I don't pay attention to anymore because I don't know any of the players.
Yeah, you know
the teams, right? But with all of the one and dones, with the transfer portal, you just don't get to know the teams like you used to. And when you had a favorite team and you would, 2, 3 years, 4 years, guys, and you were able to follow them and get to know that team, get to know that particular group, it was a lot of fun. But it's just become, I don't know, I don't pay a lot of attention to the regular season, don't know a lot of the players, so therefore don't know a whole lot of the teams. And so I'm not going to fill out a bracket and just, willy-nilly put down who I think is going to win. Now, I'll pay attention to the tournament. That's a lot of fun because of the drama, the win, and you move on, lose, and obviously you're going home. But I will tell you, one of the last times I did a bracket, I was with Cleveland. And it was 1996, and it actually wasn't even a bracket. It was you paid money, and you got a pick of a team. And my team, I think I had Syracuse. I'd have to go back and check, but my team got into the money. The problem for me was at the end of spring training in 96, I had got sent down to AAA. So I'm on my way to Buffalo. So I'm in minor league camp as I get ready to start our minor league season as the NCAA tournament is coming to a close. And my team ended up in the money. So I had a chance to win some money, and I got called up relatively quickly in that season. And Eddie Murray was the guy that was in charge of the tournament that particular year. And so I went to him when I got called up, and I said, I believe that I'm supposed to come see you because I think my team ended up in the money. You know, on and on we go. You can imagine how it went. He right. looked at me and he said, we don't pay out for minor leagues.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so I never got my money for that because, well, I was a minor leaguer. I was telling the story this morning to a couple of buddies at the gym, and I'll follow that up with, you know, we used to have Kangaroo Court, which they don't do anymore because I think that the modern player, they don't want to get their feelings hurt, so they don't have Kangaroo Court anymore. But we used to have Kangaroo Court, and my favorite find is you'd have some young rookie, and he'd get called up early June, all excited, taste of the big leagues, here we go. And then all of a sudden, a few days later, we'd have Kangaroo Court, and he would get brought up on charges. Of course, he's wondering, what could I have possibly done wrong in the last 3 or 4 days? But he would end up getting charged with showing up to the season late and fined for that. And bro, I mean, it's one of those, it never gets old. You always laugh. Just like when we get on an elevator, when you travel with a baseball team, you better have thick skin. And when we get on an elevator, whoever, and I don't care what floor it is, whoever, and it could be a civilian, it could be another family just happens to be on vacation at the same hotel that we are. But whoever gets off the elevator first, whoever has pressed the lowest floor on the elevator, as soon as those doors open up, guys will be like, stairs, take the stairs. you're doing this to a family who doesn't know who you are, and the door opens and someone just goes, stairs. The joke never gets old. Childish, without question, but it never gets old.
It's like right up there with jumping when the elevator takes off so that you get that moment and then you scare the hell out of everybody else who's around you. Is it uncomfortable with the elevator to begin with?
Of course. Because you every now and then you hear that story about the elevator that got stuck.
Yep.
And it took a couple of hours and you're stuck in this little box. Yeah, no one likes that. So no unnecessary movement whatsoever. There's so many different things that would go on during even plane rides, the things that guys would say on Final Descent, and you're looking at them like, really? We're gonna play that yet? Can we just get wheels to the ground, please? I don't need to hear you saying the things that you're saying.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For repeat.
All right, the best friend of the show, Brian Anderson, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, BA, have you seen the ABS system yet? The automatic ball and strike system challenge, all that kind of stuff?
Yes.
What do you think?
Intriguing. You know, as long as it's limited, I mean, do not allow it to become like college basketball where you can challenge everything at all times. I mean, on and on and on you go. If you give a couple, you know, to each team, and you've got to be strategic about it. It's not going to be a borderline pitch in the first inning because who really cares? It's the same way with the manager's challenge. You know, a close play in the first inning, you may be right, but do you want to take a chance of losing your challenge early on what turns out to be a nothing play, or do you want to hold on to that until later? So there's a strategy to it, and as long as they don't overdo it, then it's intriguing. And let's see how it plays out, and as long as it's not holding the game back and becoming – you know, cumbersome as far as the delay goes. As long as it's quick and to the point and it's not overdone, then, you know, listen, there have been a lot of changes made recently that have been really good, I think, for the game, and that could be another one.
B.A., I was watching the Guards Reds game the other night, and it got used 3 or 4 times, and the umpires were wrong every time. I mean, and it was rather rapid. It was like a 15-second, you know, a delay. You know, the umpire stepped back, I think, looked to the press box or whatever, and then, you know, announced the ruling, and they went on with things. It didn't seem to be all that obtrusive to the pace of the game, and I think it was because, you know, to your point, every pitch wasn't being challenged. It was just 3 or 4 pitches in the 9-inning game.
Yeah, and you can live with that. You can absolutely live with that because, you know, listen, a count can swing in a big way. You know, you think about the difference. You know, you used to talk about, always used to prioritize strike one. You got to get strike one. Boom. Start the count out 0-1. And that's great. That's great. But the most important count in baseball is, what are you going to do on a 1-1 pitch? Because you either swing to 1-2, which is a huge advantage pitcher, or you fall behind 2-1. And all of a sudden that momentum swings in a huge way to the hitter. So that's the biggest pitch. So when you get the counts like that, it can really make a difference in a game, you know, a swing like that. So as long as it's not being overdone, then, you know, then if the technology is there and you're doing it 3 or 4 times in a 9-inning game, not that big of a deal, then let's go for it.
What do you think of the season opening in Japan? You like that idea, or you're like, why aren't we doing this stateside?
No. Yeah, I don't. I understand why they're doing it. It's a business. They're trying to grow the game over there. You understand why, doesn't mean you have to particularly like it. And if that makes me an old guy out there yelling at clouds, so be it. But how many people do you think that are invested in Major League Baseball have looked at Major League Baseball already having their opening day? Nobody. Nobody. Those are throwaway games. And I know they count, but nobody cares. They start at 6 in the morning. You know, your diehards will watch because it's the first, you know, pitch that counts during the course of the season. But nobody is looking at that like it's opening day. Opening day is, you know, for the vast majority of the league, is next Thursday. We don't open up till Friday to try to get Steinbrenner Field ready for the Rays after the Yankees, you know, leave and head north to wherever they're going to play. So we have an extra day, but next Thursday is Major League Baseball opening day, and starting it in Japan, I'm not a huge fan of. Again, understand why they're doing it, but, you know, it should be over here.
Color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays, former Cleveland Indian, Brian Anderson, joining us. Brian, you opened the door there. What is going on with the Rays and their stadium situation? Is that franchise in danger of having to leave that market? Or do you think a new stadium, because I don't think they can stay in Tropicana Field whether they fix it up or not, are they going to get something built closer to where people actually want to go watch baseball, and that's closer to Tampa?
You know what? Your answer to that question would be as good as mine. I really have no idea. I know that the Rays and the Rays owner, Stu Sternberg, came out maybe a week and a half ago, they're foregoing this particular stadium deal. They had to make a decision by the end of March, and that has fallen through. So really, at this point, I don't know where they stand. I don't know if there are negotiations going on behind the scenes. Everything's been pretty quiet since that happened. So I don't know. And I would imagine that all options are on the table. So, I'd love to have a better answer than that for you, but I don't know. It's a huge unknown. Are they going to go ahead and fix Tropicana Field to try to get the Rays back into it? Because how many years are the Yankees going to allow the team to, you know, to use Steinbrenner?
Right.
You have that this year. That's on the, you know, the table for this particular season. And, you know, that's great. But moving forward, where are you going to go? And if Tropicana Field doesn't get fixed, where do you go? Do you try to go back? You know, I mean, there are so many questions. And unfortunately, I don't think there are many answers out there, and I certainly don't have any.
Well, I know one question I can ask you that I'm praying you have an answer for, because I know you're a big Browns fan. I'm on record. I really don't care what they do at quarterback, because I just think all the options are yuck. Who do you want them to bring in to be the quarterback to get them through this season?
Oh, Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's our guy, right? Let's go get the last couple of months of two seasons ago. You know what? I don't know. I really don't know. Like you said, it's a crapshoot. That obviously is the most important position. And, you know, that's gonna end up making or breaking, because there's talent all over the place on that team. But you need that leader. You need the guy under center that is going to be the difference maker and going to allow you a chance to play, you know, and get deep into the playoffs. I don't know who that's going to be. And I haven't followed it that closely, but just from...
You're not missing much, by the way.
I followed the free agency closely, but the draft... You know, Shedeur Sanders, those seem to be the top two guys, but I haven't heard people just falling all over themselves to make sure that they get one of them. You know, it's kind of like, these are the top two, you know, relative to years past, maybe they don't measure up to some other guys. So you don't even look at the draft as a place that you're going to be able to go and get a surefire blue chipper. So, you know, I saw a mock draft yesterday where they were talking about the Browns taking Abdul Carter and teaming him up with Myles Garrett. My good Lord.
Right.
Opposing quarterbacks, look out. I mean, that could be a scary combo. That could be a lot of fun if they feel like they can get someone to be able to hold down the fort as far as the quarterback position goes. But you know what? If you did that and you built that defense to be suffocating, then you don't need a superstar quarterback. Just be a guy that manages, a guy that doesn't turn the ball over, a guy that, you know what I mean, occasionally is going to make the play, but he's not going to hurt you. And let that defense do its thing. Maybe that's your best chance. I don't know. I'm not the football guy. I'll be interested to see what they end up doing. But I know that next season, I hope, is a whole lot more interesting than this past one.
Brian, I'm the football guy, and, well, I don't know either. It's like, do you want one to the temple or two to the chest? That's how I feel like I'm Crash Davis standing in the locker room watching Nuke LaLoosh talk to the media, and I'm just like, this is hopeless. This is just utterly hopeless.
Yeah, but let's not do that. Let's not be hopeless on the Brown season in March. No, please, no.
Brian, love you, my friend. Thanks for the time, as always. Appreciate you, and enjoy the Rays down there in Florida.
We'll talk, brother. Take
Absolutely.
Care of yourself.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, boys. Have a great weekend.
You betcha. Well, that's Brian Anderson. The He's the color analyst of the Tampa Bay Rays on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.